Now let's move on. We have verse 5 here. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsel of the lawless are deceit. The words of the lawless are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The lawless are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Now you can well see that God apparently is one that is a square. Let's face it. He believes in law and order. He has a lot to say against the lawless. Now in verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be exposed to contempt. I think of Gideon and his son. Gideon, he's to be commended according to his wisdom. And Abimelech, his son, was exposed to contempt. And then verse 9, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. I think you could get a better translation here where it says, better is the poor that provideth for himself. I think that is a better translation. It's rather confusing here, but it looks like the contrast is being made that it is better to be envied than he who delights in making a pompous display while at the same time he has an empty breadbasket. How true this is. I think you could put Jacob and Esau down on this proverb. Esau the hungry, and yet he's the one that had the blessing but attached no importance to it at all. Now will you notice verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the lawless are cruel. I mentioned the other day the thing that impressed me about my dad. He died, was killed in an accident in a cotton gin when I was 14 years old, just at a time when a boy thinks his dad's a hero. Frankly, I've never gotten over it. I always felt he was a wonderful dad. And yet, I do know that he drank and apparently used pretty strong language at times. But I mentioned the fact of how, on one occasion, that he stopped when he saw a gate open and the man's cattle were out. This was out in West Texas. He got out and put them all back in, closed the gate, and got back in the buggy. Never said a word about it at all. And then I remember one time we were driving from Ardmore, Oklahoma, up to Springer, and that was in the good old days when it was a dirt road and we had a horse and buggy. And there was a man ahead of us that was drunk in his buggy, and he was beating his animal. And my dad got out of the buggy. We couldn't get around him to begin with. And my dad got out of the buggy, went up and talked to the man about beating his animal. And the man took offense, naturally, being a drunk, and he got out and he swung at my dad. He missed him, but my dad hit him and really knocked him down, and he told him to get back in that buggy. And my dad took the whip away from him, and he told him, he said, you let that horse alone. You quit beating him. And the man, of course, went on down the road, and we followed him. That impressed me. All of that sort of thing impressed me. And I'm delighted to find in Scripture a proverb like this, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Someone that had a dog, in fact, he had several dogs. He told me, he says, I always judge a man by the reaction of my dogs to him. So dogs know character. They know whether they'd be mistreated by an individual. It's quite interesting that the animal world seems to know human character maybe better than some of us do. And God has a proverb about it. I like it. I trust you do.